another week of college football is in the books. And that means you're in store for another episode of the College Tribe podcast with yours truly, Austin Price. Oh, how about that? What a charismatic intro there. Alrighty, a lot to get into here because it was a very, emotionally speaking, heavy week of college football. And I'll get into the details of what I mean by that. But just know right now that it includes national relevance, such as, of course, the Alabama-Georgia game, and the state of Florida as well, going all the way from the West Florida Argos to the Miami Hurricanes, who are ranked in the top 10. Oh, my goodness. There was a lot to unpack. So let's not waste another moment. Let's get right into it, starting, as we always do, with looking at the new AP poll, particularly the top 10. Okay, number one is Alabama. So there you go. If you didn't know who won the Bama-Georgia game, there's your little spoiler. Alabama is number one in the country, followed by number two, Texas, number three, Ohio State, number four, Tennessee, number five, Georgia. So there's where the dogs dropped. Number six, Oregon, number seven, Penn State, number eight, Miami, number nine, Missouri, and number 10, Michigan. I'm not thrilled about that. Honestly, you want just my generic thoughts on the top 10. It's the same as it's been for the past few weeks now, where the top half of the poll, 1 to 5, is like, okay, I get that. 6 through 10 is just unbelievable. And here's how I feel about it. Alabama being number one, we'll break it down. The Tide being the top-ranked team, just specifically, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with them being number one. I'm not really surprised that they're number one when you beat Georgia, and that was the toughest team on your schedule, and you were already top four, and Georgia was number two, and they had been, I would say, most people's number one top favorite to win the national title. I have no problem with you being number one. And you have to consider that Texas had a slow start against Mississippi State. That's going to send off alarm bells every time. It's one thing to struggle with a good school. You're struggling with a team that just got beat up by Toledo and Florida, and that was in Starkville. They come to your house, and you're barely beating them like over halfway through the game. Come on, man. No, you got to make an example in your conference opener against an SEC bottom dweller. And at least for a good portion of the game, Texas did not do that. So especially with them having that slow start, I think AP voters felt justified enough in putting the Tide number one. So I'm all for it. Number three, Ohio State. They just haven't played anyone. But I had them as an upset alert against Michigan State. They went into Michigan State, won, 38-7? So I guess they shut me up. So congrats, Ohio State. You can stay third. Number four is Tennessee. They're one of the most proven teams in America. They were on a bye. I'm all for Tennessee being up there. I think they've earned it. Georgia's number five. I think this was very strategic, and I am all for it. Georgia was just behind Tennessee, who was the lowest-ranked, like, proven contender. And they're right above Oregon, who's the highest-ranked team that's visibly overrated. Speaking of overrated, this is where I take issue. Miami, they're at number eight. They have got to be the most overrated team in America today. Number seven is Penn State. I don't care. Put them there. I don't give a hoot. But when it comes to Miami, this team only dropped one spot. For those who are not aware, they struggled with Vatek. That's pathetic. But that's not where my issues lie. You struggled with them so much that it came down to a Hail Mary, and then it gets worse than that. It should have been called a touchdown for Vatek. Now, people are going to sit here and say, oh, no. It wasn't a confirmed catch. You can't look at that and call it a catch. There were too many hands, too many bodies there. You couldn't see the ball. Miami eventually came up from the pile with possession. How can you call that a catch? I'm not saying that I saw a catch, but what I'm saying is that the officials did. They saw all those hands. They saw all those bodies. They saw Miami come up with the ball, and they still said, in spite of all of it, touchdown, Virginia Tech. Now, I don't know if I need to educate you on how officiating works in sports, at least in college football, but when you have a flag and the initial ruling is a touchdown, the only way you undo it is by saying, hey, we have 100% confirmation, indisputable evidence that Vatek did not catch this ball. It was never a catch. You have to have 100% proof of that. So if you want to say the refs made a bad call by giving Vatek a touchdown, you can say that all you want. But we have to acknowledge that, yes, there are too many bodies. Yes, there are too many hands. Yes, we can't tell what happens with the ball. So now the officials have put themselves in a position where it's like, okay, well, we said it was a touchdown. How are we supposed to say that it's not? Somehow they found a way. They found a way to justify saying, no, actually, we take it back. And there was not really a good reason as to why they undid the call, which was enough to get people thinking on the internet that there's some huge conspiracy that the ACC headquarters called in and said, give Miami the call. We need Miami to stay unbeaten. I mean, there's actually a lot of people, they're not joking. They are actually believing that, swearing up and down that that is what happened. It was that bogus of a situation. So nobody's saying that it was a Vatek catch. What we're saying is that the refs called it a catch and they need to stand by it when there's not evidence to overturn it. But they overturned it anyway. So Miami got exposed. Vatek can take comfort in that. You exposed the Canes anyway. They're probably going to lose to somebody else soon enough. And everyone knows that they did not deserve that win. But what's so puzzling to me is that they only dropped one. I thought Miami was going to get hosed by the voters. And the reason why is because of how the voters treated Missouri. Missouri is unbeaten. They had a ranked win at the time they were ranked, Boston College. Mizzou struggles with Vanderbilt. They win, but they struggle with Vanderbilt. They dropped Mizzou four spots. You dropped them four spots after a conference win? I don't mind it, but then you turn around and only drop Miami one. Miami doesn't have a ranked win. And they squeaked past Vatek, a team that Vandy beat. It doesn't make any sense to drop Mizzou four spots and only drop Miami one. That's ridiculous. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Miami doesn't have a ranked win. Do they not? They beat Florida. Florida obviously wasn't ranked. They beat FAMU. They may be ranked in the FCS poll. I don't know. I don't know about anything nationally. Obviously, they're itty-bitty. But then you've got, what, Ball State and USF? Come on. That's your resume? At least Mizzou got on the phone and played a Power 4 team that you, AP voters, put in the top 25, and they beat them head-to-head. And Vandy beat Vatek, but apparently struggling with Vandy is punishable by four. Punishable by four drops. Oh, but struggling with Vatek is only punishable by one. I don't know. I mean, I'm stroking out here trying to speak. I cannot wrap my brain around it. Why Miami would still be eighth? The AP voters have proven that they do not believe that to be the case. Nobody in America thinks that Miami's some clear-cut eighth best team. So that's really stupid. I don't know why Miami's there, but if Vatek proved anything, in spite of officially losing, Vatek proved, hey, this team's going to lose soon enough. So, as I said, take comfort in that, Vatek. You nonetheless exposed Miami. Alrighty, and then I've got an issue with this. Why is Michigan back in the top 10? Michigan has not done anything to deserve to be in the top 10. They have not done anything whatsoever. Oh, but Austin, they beat USC. Who cares? You see anybody dying on the hill of USC's a top contender for the national title? No, they're not. USC's a good team. They're not a great team. Nobody's looking at them to win it all, to make some push. No chance. Michigan beat them, barely. Congratulations. But you know what else you've done? You struggled with Fresno State more than I liked. You struggled with Arkansas State more than I liked. You got beat up by Texas, who's far and away the best team you've played this year. And you just now struggled with Minnesota. What are you doing in the top 10? How many more times are you going to have to skate by somebody? Or are you just going to have to play another actual for real team and just get skunked again? Why is Michigan there? It makes no sense. Also, want to touch on this. Texas A&M is tied for 25th. Going into this last weekend, they were 24th. I was not thrilled with them going up after only beating Bowling Green by 6. And I thought Arkansas was going to expose them. And Arkansas kind of did. Texas A&M won, but it was only 21-17. So that proves that A&M isn't much better than Arkansas. Therefore, they're not really top 25 material. But they nonetheless beat a one-loss Arkansas team. And Arkansas's only loss was beyond regulation. I think it was double OT on the road against Oklahoma State. A&M technically drops after that win because they went from being 24th to being tied for 25th with UNLV. So there's no climb. There's a technical drop when you beat Arkansas by 4, but you go up one when you beat Bowling Green by 6. I know it's a different poll every week and, you know, there's different circumstances, but these voters are making zero sense. What? Why? Why would you drop A&M now? Or why would you ignore what they've done now? They just beat a one-loss Arkansas team, a one-loss rival. And Arkansas had a quality loss. Apparently beating Bowling Green by 6 at home means more than beating Arkansas by 4 at what was unofficially a neutral location. So the AP voters just really ruffled my feathers today. This week. It's ridiculous. Do also want to take time to laugh at Ole Miss. These guys are dirty players, man. I get that teams jaw back and forth no matter what. They're gonna, you know, pop off, talk their stuff, strut their stuff, whatever. But man, I was so frustrated watching them play because they try to like get in your face and get in your head, and they'll sack you and they'll stare you down and they'll say something, talking over you, standing over you, whatever. You know, they are just always looking down at their opponents. Oh my gosh, they're just so much better, right? And then we have to consider, along with that arrogance, the dirty slash bush league slash unethical practice of feigning injury whenever your player does something, whenever your opponent does something worth a hoot. You feign injury. Oh, quick, get down. We need a timeout. They did that against my Wake Forest Demon Deacons, and they did it against Kentucky this last weekend. There's a clip that I think it was ESPN's TikTok or something. It went viral. There was a clip of Jackson Dart looking over at his running back. His name escapes me, but looking over at his running back and telling him to get down. They were on offense this time. And the running back all of a sudden just collapses. He just hits the deck. Oh my goodness, his leg just all of a sudden, I guess, exploded for 30 seconds. It's ridiculous. That is a dirty type of play. They are an arrogant team. I love to see teams like that fail. Is it professional to say that? No, but that's me, baby. That's how I roll. Ole Miss, and I'm sure people are going to think that it's because, oh, you're a Wake Forest fan, you just, you know, you're trying to cope with the loss. No, I'm not. Ole Miss should have beaten Wake Forest bad. They should have beaten the brakes off of Wake, and they did. And I applaud Ole Miss for keeping what I think is a respectable Wake Forest offense out of the end zone all game. I acknowledge that. But I don't like the type of winners you are. And I thought you were going to get exposed by like a Georgia or something. I thought you would maybe stumble into the playoffs, get exposed by somebody up there. No. Your first SEC game of the season. You're at home against Kentucky. And you lose. All of a sudden, that defense that doesn't give up touchdowns to nobody, you gave up 20 points to Kentucky. All of a sudden, that offense that is unstoppable scored 17 points. It was just embarrassing by Ole Miss. And I hate to say I giggled when it happened. All right, let's get on to the Floridian representation here. Hinted at this when we got started. This is quite possibly the most disappointing week that we've had for Florida teams so far this season. Just to give a bit of a recap, Miami got exposed by Vatek. We already touched on that. FSU got decimated by SMU 42-16. UCF gave Colorado what has probably been their best win since Deion took over. Colorado went into the bounce house and beat an undefeated UCF team. What was it, 48-21? USF got hosed by Tulane. That was supposed to be some top-tier Group of Five matchup when you consider how those teams faced Power Four opposition. But Tulane just mops the floor with the Bulls, 45-10. And then, here locally, the West Florida Argos got shut down by Grand Valley State, 31-7. And we knew that that was going to be a tough gig for UWF. It was coming off a heartbreaking loss, going on the road. Grand Valley State's been a phenomenal program these past few years, especially. We knew it was going to be tough. But UWF got ran off the field. The best-looking team in the state was Florida, and that's only because they didn't play anybody. Florida looks better on a bye week than they do playing anybody else. I don't know, maybe pair them up with Mississippi State again, then we'll have something good to talk about. But outside of that, Florida is unwatchable football, 9 times out of 10. So when they play no one, and that has them being the prettiest, you know, the prettiest young lady in the beauty pageant, oh my gosh, what a nightmare for the state. I look at the FSU situation and I think, dude, SMU, they were out there to send a message. This was your first road game of the season, your first true one. This was their conference opener as an ACC member. They wanted to run up, you know, or I don't want to say run up to score. That makes it sound like they were being unsportsmanlike. But you know what I mean. They wanted to score as many points as possible, shut you down. It was personal, right, because Florida State's the biggest villain of the ACC right now. SMU's the underdog story coming into a Power Four league for the first time. They wanted to make an example out of you, and they did. 42-16, can't deny that. This was actually one of DJ's worst-looking games, just as far as him in particular. So congrats to SMU on that. You exposed DJ more than I think any of the other games have. Obviously, DJ, we've touched on it already. He hasn't been great, but he's not the only problem in Tallahassee. However, he was a bigger problem against the Mustangs. So congrats to them, I guess. Colorado, I'll give you credit. I saw Joel Klatt. He's a Fox Sports guy. And I typically like Joel, but I noticed he said something. I think it was on Saturday night. He said, all the Deion haters are awfully quiet tonight. Yeah, we're quiet because he actually did something that backs up his talk. I don't know if Colorado has had a quality win like this since Deion's been there. It was that good looking of a win. UCF, conference opponent, unbeaten, respected head coach. Colorado goes in there and wins by 27. And it's typically a tough place to play, bounce house. I mean, it's got an aura to it. It's got an image. It's got a reputation. Colorado, stone cold, goes in there, takes care of business. That's what you're supposed to do. If you're going to talk the talk and you're going to have some of the best talent in America, that's what you're supposed to do. So yeah, the quote-unquote haters weren't saying anything because you're finally backing up your talk. Colorado has only got one loss. It's to a fellow one-loss team, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. It's in Lincoln, all right? And that's a pretty tough place to play. That's your only loss of the season if you're Colorado. And now you got a quality win here, I think. So congrats to Colorado, I guess. But yeah, UCF, that was embarrassing. USF got hosed by Tulane, as I said, 45-10. Come on, what's that about? I think it's more of a testament to Tulane being good than USF being bad. But there was nothing that implied a 35-point swing there. The Bulls got to do better as well. And West Florida, I don't blame you for losing to Grand Valley State. Obviously, I wish it was closer. But just the loss itself, it's going to happen. They were a great team. UWF caught them in a bad place at a bad time on the schedule. Alrighty. Now let's go on to the look ahead. We'll start with UWF since I just finished talking with them. UWF hosts Mississippi College. Here's where the bright side of life finally shines. Mississippi College is winless this season. They're 0-4. And if I'm not mistaken, they've never beaten the Argos in football. So West Florida should get back on track this weekend. They host Mississippi College. No offense to Mississippi, to MC, I'll call you. No offense to you, but UWF has owned you year after year. They're out for blood. They are trying to get back on track. And Mississippi College provides a beautiful opportunity to do that. Going back home, hopefully Penn Air Field brings the house down. MC needs to look out. Meanwhile, we've got FSU hosting Clemson. Ah, geez. All right. When I look at what SMU's offense did to Florida State, I am so scared about what Clemson's is going to do. SMU, I know they had like a pick six late in the game that put them over 40, but nonetheless, they're the first team to score over 40 on FSU all season. Before that, I don't think an FSU opponent had scored 30. SMU just scored 40. And now you got Clemson, who's logically got all the bigger, all the better, all the faster of talent. They're coming to Tallahassee to kick the Noles while they're down. That is going to be a massacre. The offense still isn't good. I believe Brock Glenn is supposed to be starting the FSU game. That's what I've heard, at least. That's what's swirling around. So we'll see how that turns out. But that tells me the offense is still going to be lackluster, especially with this being his first like play time of the season. And Clemson, oh my gosh. They're out for blood because it was a heartbreaking loss last year to Florida State and Death Valley. We talked about SMU being out to send a message. Clemson's out to send a message. They're going to go into Florida State, and man, they're going to eat you up, leave no crumbs, man. Okay. Then we've got UCF visiting Florida. I got to tell you, this was supposed to be, you know, a pretty good game, and I think it's still going to be one, but I thought it was going to shift UCF's way. You know, you look at UCF, and it's like, okay, they're unbeaten. They got a Power 4 win. Florida struggling, but Florida looked about as good as they could against Mississippi State. They're at home. They're coming off a bye. UCF just got embarrassed. I can't say with anywhere near the confidence I once had that UCF can win this game. I'm actually leaning more towards the Gators. This is far more winnable for them than a lot of people would have originally expected. And then we got USF on a bye. All right, so some of the score predictions here. As far as the Floridian teams, give me, and let's see, we got Mississippi College at UWF. I'll take the Argos big. Give me 45-6. May not be that much. I didn't put too much thought into it. It may be some wishful thinking taking over. But I think UWF goes out there trying to get back on track. As I said, this is supposed to be an emotional moment for them. A rebirth. I think they take care of business there. So I'll say 45-6 Argos. I also meant to touch on this. Miami, number 8 Miami, goes to Cal. And I think that's the game day location for this week. So kind of a slower week in college football, if you didn't pick up on that. But number 8 Miami goes to Cal. I think Miami's going to win that. But I don't have it being some blowout. I got it being 34-20 Canes. Then we've got number 15 Clemson going to FSU. I've got this being another, as I said before, high offense for Clemson, low offense for Florida State. I got 44-10 Tigers. I think they go into Tallahassee and just rip them apart. And then UCF at Florida, this will be the best game. I've got Florida winning. Home upset. They win 36-30 over the Central Florida Knights. Here nationally, just a couple of games that kind of stood out to me. Number 9, Mizzou travels to Texas A&M. College Station's a tough place to play. Texas A&M's rolling now. They may be feeling a little bit disrespected by, you know, the way the polls have kind of treated them. Mizzou has struggled in a couple games, but hey, they're back in the top 10. They're looking at A&M. They're looking at their struggles against Bowling Green and Arkansas. They may kind of sleep on them a little bit, seeing that lower rank next to their name. I've got Mizzou winning, but it's an upset alert. Give me Mizzou winning 31-27. And then we got SMU. They're riding high. Their only loss is to who? BYU, I think, and BYU's looking good. SMU travels to Louisville, Kentucky to take on the number 22 Cardinals. I'll give credit to Louisville where it's due. They faced their first real opponent last weekend, Notre Dame. It was a good enough game, but it's not a coincidence that Louisville lost. I think it exposed the limits we already expected them to have, but they're back home. This is a good chance for a win. SMU's kind of hung over after the FSU game. Give me the Cards and a good one, 34-26. All right. Now, I mentioned that Missouri and TAMU was going to be kind of an upset alert. I've got 3 more upset alerts for you. So a lot of upsets swirling around here potentially. And it's coincidentally teams 10 through 12 in the polls. Number 10, Michigan at Washington. Man, this is just Washington's tough place to play. Michigan has just skated to the finish line every time. I can't look at Michigan and assume that they're going to go into a place like that and just take some easy dub. I can't expect that. Number 11, USC goes to Minnesota. Minnesota, beautiful scenery. Also a tough place to play. USC hasn't wowed me. They have like one quality win, and they lost to Michigan. Michigan just squeaked past Minnesota. So when you apply it logically, it even looks like an upset there. And then number 12, Ole Miss, goes to SC. This really, I think, depends on just the type of teams we're going to get. Ole Miss could be defeated after the Kentucky game, or they could be out for trying to win the hearts of the voters and of the public. So maybe Ole Miss just comes in and tries to decimate the Gamecocks. Also, the Gamecocks have a very tough home environment, but we don't really know how they're going to look either. They had a chance to beat LSU there, but they had some issues throughout the game, quarterback injury and all. They blew that opportunity. So I just don't know if they're going to be a punching bag for Ole Miss or if they're going to kick them while they're down. But if they can kick Ole Miss while they're down and send Ole Miss down to two-loss status, Ole Miss probably ain't even going to be in the top 20 anymore. I mean, so we're talking about a very detrimental loss. We're already looking at Ole Miss and saying, okay, you gotta play Georgia. Kentucky was far from the toughest team on your schedule, and you just now lost at home to them. So if we have a tight pull in the 12-team field, you might not make it now. Assuming that you just lose to Georgia and then you beat everybody else. Assuming you do that, you're not a committed team to the playoff. You're not promised anything. So to see you going to SC, if SC wins that game, that essentially kicks Ole Miss out of the playoffs. USC and Michigan already both have losses, but they're better looking losses, at least right now. So I don't know what opportunities they're going to have, but this is definitely make or break for Ole Miss. And that's very important when you look at how these teams are ranked right now. They're right on the cusp as far as AP voters are concerned. So Ole Miss, get it together. Don't slip up again. You've been listening to the College Try Podcast, brought to you by ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 AM. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.